You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
All right, well, tonight I want to talk to you guys about ascending. How many of you know what ascending means? All right. Well, by the end of tonight, all your hands will be raised. So many times we live from one experience, emotional high, to the next. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you kind of live from, ooh, Christmas is coming, and then come like January, February, you're like, this is kind of boring. When's spring break going to get here? Spring break gets here, and you're really excited. Spring break ends, you're like, oh my gosh, am I going to make it till May? And then now you're at the summer, so you're kind of enjoying it, but now you're getting kind of bored, so now you're like, what's next? No, you're not bored? Thank you, I'm glad. Yeah, who's bored? Okay, don't post it on Facebook, I will comment on your wall. You should not be bored. By the end of the night, I'll give you some reasons why as well. But anyway, so we have these emotional highs, and they take us up and down and up and down. And one thing about these emotional highs is that they wear off. And then when you're done with that event, you kind of climax. Some of you might wear off. How many of you experienced that kind of, you know, that mid-break? Nadezda, thank you for being honest. Yeah. It wears off until the next good thing comes along. And so an example of this would be a roller coaster. Who's been on a roller coaster before? A few of you, most of you. How many of you have seen a roller coaster before? Do I need to draw a picture? Okay. Well, on roller coasters, you go up and you go down, and you go up and you go down. And the thing about roller coasters are they're fun. You enjoy those highs, and when you're kind of at that moment, you get that plateau, you're kind of taking a deep breath, like, okay, I can make it to the next one. And then it goes down and you crash. Well, you don't crash, but you hit the bottom. And then you go back up again. And so it's just taking you up and down and all around. Well, the thing about a roller coaster is although there's highs, there's also lows. And they actually bring you right back to where you started. So even though you have these highs and lows, you're going up and down. And so me and all my amazing skills, I'm going to draw you our highs and lows. So here's our highs. Our roller coaster is going to start like that. And then we got our lows. It's kind of like a big drop off. But so then you're like catching your breath, and then you go up again. And then you're thinking, oh, good, I can breathe for a little while. Wait, it's coming again. Down a little bit. Oh, that wasn't so bad. I think I'm going to go a little higher. Right? How many of you experienced that in life? You're just kind of like going on for the ride. Okay. So then we get a little higher. Well, most of the time you have to come down, right? Is that running out? We're done with purple. Sorry, Kylie. Moving to blue. No way. I might need a reserve of pens here. Oh, man. Hey, Mary, behind stage right here, there's a... Ooh, yellow's working. Okay. So we come down, and we weave a little bit. Come down. Okay. Yeah, shake that up. Okay. There's our roller coaster right now, okay? So with roller coasters, we go up and down. Now, roller coasters are fun. So are events. You know how those events in your life, they're really fun, and they serve a purpose. But like all good things, they usually come to an end. And so tonight I wanted to talk to you about the real difference in our life. Like, we have these different events, and so many times we gear up for those, and then we ride them as long as we can until the next one comes. But I'm here to talk about the main part, the biggest difference in your life is in between those highs, is what you guys would consider kind of those plateaus, if you will, is the daily life. It's what you do after these events that's going to determine the success of that event. Now, let me give you a few examples. Birth, that's an event, right? How many of you say the day you were born was a good day? And every year you celebrate it by having a birthday party, right? So that was a good day. Some of you are like, well, I don't know, I don't really remember it. Trust me, your mom does. She would tell me it was a very memorable experience. And you guys might not exactly remember that event, but if you look through pictures, I have the album. I remember seeing, you know, I used to be little bitty Jen, and I saw the pictures, you know, with all the stuff on me before they cleaned me up, and then I saw the cute little pictures growing up. But how many, what if life stopped at birth? Oh, there was an event. We're just going to ride it out till then. You know, your parents are like, well, my job's done. I gave birth to the baby. No, that's when life starts for them. It's parenting. That's what starts. And for you, that's what growth. That's where growth happens. And so birth is an important part of life. But we can't stop there. The years after that, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, those are all times where you're growing. And those are where the important parts of life happen. So we can't just look at these events in life and say, those are the most important parts, because they serve a purpose, but they start you off on the next season of your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, let me give you another example. Weddings. How many of you have been to a wedding before? Yeah? Okay. Those are fun. I enjoy weddings. Been to many of them. There's more coming up. So you gear up for these weddings, and then you get ready for the next one. But what if that couple stopped on their ceremony day? What if they said, well, the ceremony's done, that was great, now we're married, and they didn't do anything else with their relationship? Where would that get us? Not very far. The relationship wouldn't go very far. So it's the marriage after the ceremony, after the wedding. That's where the real impact and success is in their relationship. And so in life, we have these different events in our life, but then they're followed by what I would think would be the most important part, and that's what you do with those events. Are you with me? Okay, you're with me. Okay, so not necessarily are these events what dictate the course of our life, but what you do after. Say, what I do after an event determines its success. So that's what we're going to talk about. Give me some examples of events you experienced in the summer. Convention. Woo! Okay, that's a good one. Let's camp there for a minute. How many of you really, who went to convention? Nice. Thank you, Micah. Now, how many of you got something out of convention? Okay. Now, what if you didn't do anything else until next convention, as far as the word's concerned, church is concerned? How far do you think that's going to get you? Not very far. Okay. It's kind of like if I said, this popsicle is your last meal until next Wednesday. You're laughing, though, but how many of you have gone a whole week without reading your Bible? Okay, you're not being honest, but that's okay. I'll shut my eyes. I don't even want to know the answer. It's okay. But you get my point, right? Like, you're eating now, that's food, and we hear about spiritual food, but you don't really put it in context to how it sustains you. But so many times we look at, convention was awesome, and then you're going to see on Facebook, can't wait till convention 2013. And it's like, what about the next 52 weeks in the year? What about those weeks? What are we going to do with that time? And then we got camp coming up. So then who's going to camp? Okay, so we have camp coming. And we're going to go to camp. It's going to be an awesome time. And so then we're going to be like, yeah, I can't wait for camp next year. So does that mean we like don't do anything until camp next year? You're still eating. I'm going to assume that's why you're not talking. Okay, that's good. Just keep eating. That's good. But I believe that it's after these events that we have a choice. We have a choice that we can ride this spiritual high as far and long as we can until we get to the point where we're almost on what you would call fumes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you kind of ride out that emotional high of an event till you're like, when's the next one coming? Or we can take that experience and use it to propel us to the next level. And how many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, we have this roller coaster right here, right? So we have... They shook these up, so hopefully I don't get it on myself. Okay, we have this high, okay? Oh, jeez. I don't know about this one. Wow. Nope. Use the red? I don't even see a red. Yellow. We'll go back to faithful yellow. Okay. So we have our event here, right? So now we're at a choice. We're all on our high. We have a choice. We could, well, no, let's have this be our choice there. We can ride this out a little ways and then just kind of plateau to the next. Or I propose that we continue to ascend higher. What do you think? Yes, higher. Because I've seen so many times that we get excited. Convention's coming. A couple weeks pass and everybody's like, well, that was a good convention. And it's like they leave everything at convention, as if God stayed at convention, or spiritual highs only happen when there's an event attached to the name. And so I want to encourage you guys tonight that this is the time where we ascend. This is the time where we go higher. We make a choice to move. Ascend means to move, to climb, to go higher. It means to rise to a higher point. So when you ascend, just like how many have ridden an airplane before? How many of you hope that plane keeps going up? You know what I mean? Like, it reaches a certain altitude where it can kind of coast, but you don't want your plane going up and down and up and down and up and down all through the ride, and then you don't want them to go, oh, it's time to go down, and just go all the way down, right? No. So that's what's called a descent. And so that's what happens when you ride this plateau. If you don't have anything carrying you, sustaining you, if we didn't eat till next Wednesday, you'd be a little lethargic, a little tired, really hungry. You're like, no, that's a bad fast. And then you'd probably kind of hit this rock bottom point where, oh my gosh, I have to eat so much to get to the next point. And so I want us to treat things like convention and camp as events that move us to the next place, not something that we use to sustain till the next one. Amen? All right, well, tonight I'm going to talk to you about how to keep that momentum. Because so many times we get to something like that and we're like, okay, how do we maintain this? Like, you get done with something, you know, a roller coaster, and you're like, yeah, let's do it again. And mom and dad are like, hey, we're out of tickets, or park's closing. And so you're like, oh, man, okay. And so you just kind of are like, wasn't that a great ride? And you just keep talking about how great that was. And you, the next couple days, you're like, that was a fun day. That was a fun time where we all went out. And you forget that the next couple days, there's things that you can rejoice about. There's things that you can do to stay on a high instead of riding these emotional roller coasters. And this doesn't even have to be a spiritual thing. There's things in your everyday life, you know, where you're like, family's going on vacation, yay. Or adults are like, yeah, I'm going to take some time off work. And you just gear up for that. So many times we spend all this energy getting ready for something and then trying to sustain that we lose the time in that season. You know, there's always something you're going to want to look forward to. I remember when I was in college, all the girls were like, hey, I can't wait to get married, right? So they get married. Can't wait to have babies. Okay, so they have babies. Okay, what's the next? There's always something you're going to keep wanting. You know, you get a new car, and now you're like, you want the newer car. Or you get something, and you're like, well, that's great, but the new iPhone just came out, and I just have now what is considered old, and I've only had it for 3 months. So there's always going to be something new and something better, but don't let those seasons of your life determine how you're going to respond to them. Amen? What I want to pose to you is growth is simple, and it all lies in the consistency. So many times we think it's hard, and growing is hard, and maintaining this momentum is going to be hard because I don't have 3 services every day, and I don't have amazing worship band at my house. And I don't have that awesome word at my fingertips all the time. And so we base our ability to maintain these things on what others around us can do. Who was at that service when the electricity went out? Well, not all the electricity, but everything on stage went out. There was no microphones. You couldn't hear anything. People continued to worship. And they use that as an example where there's times where you're not going to have that amazing sound system. And you're not going to have people leading you into worship. You're going to be in your bedroom. You're going to be driving your car. There's going to be times where you don't have the assistance of others to help you do that. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. And so tonight I want to talk to you about how we can be consistent in this. Let's turn to John 15:4. All right. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, when you read this, the summary of it is growth occurs when you're connected to the source. And this is proven scientifically. You have a tree. You cut the limb off, the limb doesn't grow anymore. If the limb's connected to the tree, it's going to keep growing. And so Jesus would always, it's the red letter, so we know it's Jesus talking, and he's always asked, why do you tell stories? And he uses these examples to paint pictures for us. It's easy for us to understand that when someone gives you flowers, you put them in a vase so that they can get water so that they can stay alive. But we all know that in about a week, those flowers are going to die because they're no longer connected to the root system anymore. And so that's why they no longer live, is because they're not connected to their source that gave them life. And so that's same with us. If there's times where we're feeling low, if we're not feeling connected, if we're feeling disconnected, it's because we have no longer been drawing our nutrients, been drawing our strength from our source, and that's God. Let's look at Colossians 2:6. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down in him and drop nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done." And so, verse 7, it says, "Let your roots grow down in him, drawing nourishment up so that you will grow." And so your nourishment comes from him. And that's how you're going to grow, is by going deeper and deeper into him. And if you go down a little further to verse 19, it says, "And we grow only as we get our nourishment and strength from God." So if there's times where you feel, "I'm not growing in him, I feel like I'm at the same place I was last month or last year, or I'm worn out, I don't feel like there's any newness, you know, I've kind of reached that place of, I don't really know what to do at this point in my relationship with the Lord." Where have you been, and where has your time been spent? Where are you getting your nutrition and your nutrients from? What is your source? Because normally you can trace back where you spend your time to what you're feeling like, or to what is helping you grow. And so right here when it says, "We only grow as we get our nutrients from him." And so that's a pretty firm statement. You will not grow if you do not get your strength from him. And so the ways that we can do that is looking at, back at John, when it says to connect with him, to stay with him and abide with him. When a branch is connected to the tree, it's not necessarily working real hard. It's just connected to it. It's part of it. And so when he's in you and you're in him, you're growing with him daily. You're with him. You're connected right next to him. And so it's just like any of your friendships or relationships. Have you ever had a time where you feel like you've kind of distanced from someone and you're like, you know, like, what do I do to get back with this person? Or what do I do to, you know, hang out with them again? It usually is stemmed from time spent with that person or communication breakdowns with that person. And so the way to stay connected is by spending time with that person, talking with that person. And so just like the branch receives nutrients from the vine, we need to receive our nutrients from the Lord, which is our source. Let's turn to John 6:35. And it says, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. But you haven't believed in me even as you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." I've heard this scripture before. Have you heard taste and see the Lord is good? Have you heard that? Sarah at convention talked about, you know, how the word is good. And she goes, she used the term like that was delish. That was delicious. Was that what she said, I think? That's delicious. Well, sometimes people are like, what? Like, you get that response from the word. And there was a point that I didn't quite understand that. Like, I don't really know what that means, to taste and see. Like, what is that? And I remember there was a time where I did a fast. How many of you have heard of the Daniel fast? It's, for those of you who aren't raising your hands, it's a fast that they did, and you only ate fruits and vegetables. And so there's different times where, you know, some said it was for 10 days, some said it was 21 days. And so I started this fast a few years ago, and I was, the reference I had said 21 days. And so I'm like, here we go, fruits and vegetables, 21 days. And then about 10 days into it, it was something the church was doing corporately. 10 days into it, they're like, okay, the fast is over. And I'm like, wait, what? 10 days, you know? And so I'd geared myself up for 21, but there was also a portion of scripture where it talked about doing it for 10 days. But it was during that time that I truly knew what it meant to feed on the word of God. When you're hungry and when you want sustenance and you just can't stand it anymore, when you look to him as your source, when you're not distracted by what am I going to eat at the next meal, and oh, that cake sounds really good, and oh, I want to drive to Dairy Queen, and you're just always thinking about food, when that's just not an option and it's cleared from your plate, You have time to think about other things. Some of you are thinking, I don't want to eat fruits and vegetables to learn that scripture is true. But there comes a time where if you're doing the same thing over and over again, trying to get a different result, that's you're going to get the same result. That's all I can say. But if you, and you're still shaking your head, no, I'm not telling you we're doing a Daniel fast. That's not where I'm going with this. But there's times where if you want different results, you have to do different things. And so if you're sitting here going, I don't even know what that means. I've never craved the word of God. It says right here, those who come to me will never be hungry again, will never thirst again. And so if you ever feel like you're in a dry place in life, my solution to you is go to the word. What are you feeding on? What are you eating? What are you drinking? What are you looking at as your source? And that's the time in my life when I cut some things out and I spent immense amounts of time in this word that I realized that this is what sustains me. This is what lifts me up. And afterwards, I added food back in. I'm not saying that I'm still eating fruits and vegetables. I mean, nope, that's not happening. But at the same time, I look back on those times and I think, how did I get to that place? And then why do I feel differently now? Like, what is it going to take to get to that place? And it's because I rode these roller coasters of like, well, I'm going to do a fast and I'm going to be really close to God. And then I'm going to write out how much time I spent with him on the time I spent with him during the fast. And so then you get to this place where you get a little lazy. And you're like, you know what? I don't really need to spend as much time with him because I feel really good right now. How many of you have eaten so much at Thanksgiving that you kind of only eat one meal that day? Is there anyone in? Well, maybe some of you eat three meals that day. I eat one big one in the middle of the day and then have kind of like a small dinner, but I am not that hungry when I'm done. And that's because I'm so filled up and I'm so full in something that I don't really need to eat again. This one time, how many of you have heard of Texas Day Brazil? A few of you? Okay. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's amazing. It's a Brazilian steakhouse, and it's all you can eat. And they have 20 different kinds of meat, and they have these, well, they call them gauchos, but they're men walking around with these knives with meat stacked up on them, and they go to your table, and you have a green card and a red card. Green means go, red means stop. It's as simple as that. They see the green card, they offer you the meat. They see the red card, they just walk right past you because red means you're full, you don't want anything right now. So my brother comes to town a couple years ago for my birthday, and he says, I'll take you wherever you want. I'm like, we're going to Texas Day Brazil. So he takes me to Texas Day Brazil. He's never experienced this before. And so he's seen all this meat like coming around, and he's just like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. And he just is loving this. And so he loves lamb, he loves steak. And so the lamb comes up, right? And the steak guy comes, goes, oh, I'll come back. My brother's like, no, you can wait right there. And so he's like in line, he has these men just waiting on him, all this meat, and he's getting so excited. I haven't seen him cry, except there's like this little tear of happiness coming down his face. You're like, what is the point of this? He got so full. He's like, I just need to take a little break. So we took a little break. Meanwhile, I'm like, a break. I'm done. He took his little few-minute break, went to the restroom, came back, and another hour went by where he's like eating and eating and eating. And I'm like, are we done yet? So then it comes time to pay the bill, right? And so, it's all you can eat, so it's not like every bite is more money. But anyway, his napkin falls on the ground, and he's like, if you pick that up, I'll pay for the meal because I can reach my wallet. So I was like, because he couldn't even bend over to get his napkin. I'm like, I can pick up the napkin. So anyway, Jonathan pays for the meal and we go about our day. Well, we get in the car and we're with his friends another time. There's two of them. And I have a two-door car. So one of them has to climb in the back seat. And they start fighting like, I can't bend over. No, dude, you got to get in the back seat. No. So they're like folding each other, throwing them in. And one's laying across the back because their stomachs are so full. They can't function. And I'm sitting here like, boys, really? So I'm telling you all this to say, the next morning, I'm like waking up early. I'm going to fix some breakfast before I take him to the airport. And he was like, I don't want any. And I was like, I'm hungry. You're not hungry? And he's like, I do not want any food. He's like, was it hot last night? And I was like, I felt pretty good. And he's like, because I woke up in the middle of the night with this huge sweat. And I was like, huge sweat? I was like, do you know what that's called? It's called the meat sweats. Have you guys ever heard of that before? You eat so much protein that your body has to burn it that you start sweating because it's trying to burn all that meat that you consumed. So anyway, I'm telling you all this to say that he ate so much and he got so full that he's like, I'm done. I called him the next day and I was like, hey, how was your flight? How was your day? He's like, I still haven't eaten. I'm like, you haven't eaten? He's like, I am so full. I do not want to think about food. And this was like at 5 o'clock at night. So he had gone all day just like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want it. And so he was sustaining off of this meal he had the day before. So sometimes you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Sometimes we get so full and we get on this spiritual high, just like last week, that we're like, I feel so good and I just couldn't even imagine going higher. You know what? I'm going to take a rest for a while. You know, I'm just not going to read the Bible as much. I'm not going to have those quiet times because I am so filled up that I feel good. You know, because so many times we go to the Word when we're not feeling good or when something's not going right and we need something from the Lord. So when we feel good, we're like, stick a fork in me, I'm done. You know, like, I don't need anything else. And you just move on with life, sustaining yourself from the meal you had last week at convention. But there's times when we are lazy and we let our guard down, that's when the enemy can come in. And I'm not saying an attack is coming, that's not my point here. But if you study war, you can see that the times the enemy attacks is when the opposition is celebrating, sleeping, or distracted. And so there's times when we're on these spiritual highs that we just kind of forget what's going on around us and we move on with life and we forget that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I want you guys to be at a place where you keep this momentum and you keep going higher and don't get to this plateau where you're just going to try to ride out last week. When Jenny was talking last week, she used the example of the parable of the four soils. Who was there? Did anybody hear that? Some of you? Turn to Matthew 13. Let's see. Almost there. It says, and now here's the explanation of the story I told about the farmer sowing the grain. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the good news about the kingdom of and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches the seed away from their hearts. Now when Jenny was talking last week, she was talking about how the soil, how our hearts are the soil, and how when you receive the word, the place that you're at determines whether you have good ground and that seed that you're receiving is going to produce fruit or if it's just going to be picked up. And so that's when I talk about the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy, when you're getting all these seeds deposited into you and when they're filling you up as you're receiving this good word, he wants to distract you. He wants to get your attention somewhere else so that you don't realize the goodness that you have and water it and grow it so that you do produce fruit. Let's keep reading the other ones. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But like young plants in soil, their roots don't go very deep. At first they get along fine, but they wilt as soon as they have a problem or are persecuted because they receive the word. And so there's times where we receive this word, and, you know, how many of you have come to church, you're like, this is awesome, this is great, and then you walk out the doors, and the next day you're like, what happened at service? Like, I don't feel that way anymore. And it's because we base our feelings and how we function based on an event or a service that happened, and we expect that to carry us to the next week or through the next days. But our job here is to fill you up, to get you to a place where you have something to feed on, but you go home and you keep feeding on it, and you look at it for yourself. Pastor George has said, I'll preach something because that's the conviction I've had from the Lord, but it's up to you to go back home and to look it up for yourself and don't just take my word for it. See what the word says about it. Go deeper in it because we only have about an hour and a half in the entire service together tonight, but you have 7 more days till the next time we meet to come back together. And so I don't want you to be living off of what I'm telling you right now for the next week. You take what I'm saying, You take what you received last week and you feed on that for the following weeks, and you go deeper and deeper into it, and that's how you're going to ascend higher, is not just saying, well, Sarah's word was great, and just kind of think on those few phrases that you remember, but going back, listening to the podcast, looking at your notes, and really studying the word to prove that what you heard is revelation that you believe to be true as well. Let's keep reading. 22. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news, but all too quickly the message is crowded by the cares of life and the lures of wealth, so no crop is produced. And this would be just like, you know, you guys said, I'm not bored yet. So most of you are probably busy. You have things you're doing this summer. And so you could be like, well, that was a good week. But then you continue moving along and you let all the things that you have coming up in this week, whether you're playing sports or you're working or you're hanging out with friends or you have trips coming up, and you just kind of let those crowd your thought life to the point where you don't have room anymore to read the word and to get into it. And so these few examples are warnings to us to say, this could happen. It's not saying it will happen, but the next one tells us the choice. The good soil represents the hearts of those who truly accept God's message and produce a great harvest, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much that had been planted. And so if you're willing, you can take all this word that was deposited in you and continue to water it and to grow in it, and that's going to take you to the higher place. We can't feed and water it for you. I can't come to all of your houses tomorrow and the next day and water everything for you and make sure that everything's okay. I'm here to check on you. I'm here if you want to call me, Facebook me, text me, any of those ways you want to get a hold of me. We're here for you, and that's what the church is for, is to encourage you, to lift you up. But we can't live out your life for you, and we can't make your choices for you. But I don't want you guys to do what I did and go to these different events and then ride it as far as I can and then look back 6 months later and be like, how did I get here? Like, why don't I have that growth that I experienced last August or July? And so as we continue to grow in the word and to get ourselves grounded, when it says your root system is deep, how many of you I told you stories about yard work that I used to do for my parents. They would teach me that when you pick weeds, you know, the easy thing to do would just be pop the head off, you know, and be like, oh, look, the weed's gone. The real way to pull weed, which I was so nicely taught by my family, is they would show me the technique, and you have to get under the root to pull it up, and then it pulls the roots with it. Well, if you have a weed that's this tall, the root system is really deep. And so there are times it was so hard to get these weeds out of the ground because of the root system they had. And so that's how we are with the Lord. If we're connected to the vine and our roots go deep in him, it's going to take more than just a little distraction to throw you off or to uproot what you've received. But if you don't allow the word to go deeper, if you don't allow the Lord to spend time with you, you know, like so many people say, well, I don't hear the Lord. And you're like, well, have you stopped to hear him? Like, have you stopped to listen? We talk so much and we always have worship music going when we're reading or have different distractions like that. Wow. That might be a plane ascending. No, I'm kidding. There's so many distractions that there's times we don't give him a chance to talk back to us. And so I encourage you guys, when we're going through these next couple weeks, spend time with him. Get in the word. Let your roots grow deep into him and see what happens. Watch the fruit get produced. Now, I don't want to assume that all of you are on a spiritual high. Not all of you raised your hands and said that you went to convention. And that doesn't mean that not all of you haven't gone and listened to the podcasts. But at the same time, you may be at a place where you're like, I'm running on fumes from the last high. Or I feel distant from the Lord. I don't know how to connect with him. I had somebody ask recently, how do you get hungry for the Lord? How do you feed that hunger? And so tonight I want to also share with you how to get to that place. You know, some of you might not be riding on the spiritual high. You might be at the place where you're like, Jen, I don't know what that high is. I've never experienced it, or it's been so long, I don't even know how to get back to that place. And it's a really simple and easy thing. I saw, I think the altar call at convention was on Tuesday night. There was 146 people that responded to it and went back to that room. And it was awesome to see all these people respond to it. But as I was looking through all the cards afterwards, I can't tell you how many rededications there were. There wasn't necessarily first-time salvations, but a lot of rededications. And that's awesome to see that people are coming back. But my one question was, what classifies in someone's mind to rededicate? Is that someone who thinks they're so far away that they really are coming back because they literally turned from God? Or are there times that you guys just feel like I'm a little distant, and so rededicating means I'm back on track? And I think sometimes there's this picture painted that if you guys, you know, are a little disconnected, that you have to rededicate and do all these things to get back on track. And sometimes it looks like a daunting, hard thing, you know, like I have to get back on track with the Lord, and now I got to do this, 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 and this. And I want you guys to know it's simple. It's so easy. The enemy wants you to think that you're so far away, or what you did was so bad you could never come back. Or maybe it was just a couple days out of the Word, but you're just feeling empty and dry, but you have this overwhelming feeling of, oh, I let him down. I messed up. And you allow that to distance you further. And so I just wanted to encourage you that there's times where you don't have those spiritual highs, and you're trying to get back up to that place. You're trying to ascend, but it's not a hard thing. It's really, really easy. Let's look at James 4:7. It says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Now, there's times where we think, is it that easy? Like, really, I draw close to God? And the Word, it says that the Lord will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And so if there's times where you feel distant, it's not because the Lord's moved away from you. He's always there. He's consistent. He's constant in your life. It means that we've moved, or we haven't moved forward in him. To ascend means to move and to go and to grow. And so there's times where it says in here, if you need to draw close, he will respond to you. So he's just sitting here waiting. He's like, come to me. Come close. I want to be with you. And he reaches out to you, and sometimes you're like, oh, I'm so busy, I'll do that later. There's times I'm like, I'll have my quiet time later. And it gets to bedtime, and then the notifications on your phone are going off. So then you're on Facebook, and it's no longer 5 minutes, it's 50 minutes, and you're nodding off, and there goes your time. And so what I want to encourage you guys to do this summer is to prioritize and to really say, what is my priorities? Who are they with? Where am I spending them? And if they're not quite right, get them back adjusted and back on top, where the Lord is the number one, where he's the one that's starting your day off, where he's the one that's ending your day, and where he's the one that you're talking to throughout your day. I can't tell you how many times I'm texting and calling people throughout my day. I mean, today my phone was just going off, like constant. And I was like studying, and I'm like, oh, phone, oh, I'm studying, sorry, Lord, oh. And then I'm just like, I need to turn this thing off. Like, it's just totally distracting me. But that's like the day I'm studying, right? So what if it was another day? It says in the Word to pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means don't stop. But how many times do we go throughout our day where we're talking more to our best friend or our boyfriend than we are to the Lord? And by the end of the day, you're like, good night, God. Or you wake up the next morning, you're like, I have 5 new messages. I wonder who's talking to me. And you just have breezed past the morning already, and you're moving on to what's going to happen in the next couple hours. Oh, I'm kind of bored right now. I want to see what so-and-so's doing. And we fill up every free time we have with someone else or doing something else. And so I want to encourage you guys that if you're at that place where you're like, I'm feeling kind of dry, I'm feeling kind of distant, don't let the momentum of the adrenaline of something else push you past and miss the opportunity that you have each and every day with the Lord. Wake up and have the Lord be priority. When people say, how do you get hungry for something? It just says, come to me and I will fill you up. Sometimes my friend has a 2-year-old, and when it's dinner time, she doesn't always want to eat. And then the next morning, oh, I don't really like what's served for breakfast. And there's times where it's like you don't just force it down because it usually comes back up anyway. But at the same time, they have to eat because that's the nourishment, and so they know what's good for them. And so there's times where you don't feel like eating. There's times where it'd be much more exciting to go to that movie with your friends, or it'd be much more exciting to watch what's on TV because you have this 6 hours of time in your day to do whatever you want. But I'm just asking you to look at how you spend your time and where it's going and what you're doing, and just assess it and see, Lord, are you number one? I had to do this in my own life recently too. You know, you get so busy and caught up in things that you have to stop and think, wait a second, why do I feel this way? And you look back and you realize it's because I'm going through the motions, or I'm living off the highs of Wednesdays and Sundays, and I'm not spending that quality time that I need to spend. Sure, going to the pool is fun. Sure, hanging out with my friends at the mall is fun, and shopping and going on trips and all those things are fun. We don't have to stop doing those things, but in the midst of all of that, we need to let the main thing be the main thing, or it's going to slip back down, and then we find ourselves at that plateau again. And so it's just a constant reminder. What I said earlier is that consistency is where lies the success of this. It's just the consistency of it. I remember recently I have a friend I haven't talked to in a long time, and I'll see my phone ring, and my first thought is, do I have an hour and a half to catch up? Because you don't catch up in 5 minutes when you haven't talked for 2 months, right? And so there's times where you have a relationship that it has gotten so distant that you think, I have to spend all this energy to catch back up. And so you don't do it right away because you're thinking, I don't have time for this. Or they're going to be mad at me. I don't want them to be upset. Or I'm going to have to explain why I haven't talked to them. And so then you just continue to let time pass again. And sometimes that's how the enemy tries to make us think about the Lord. We haven't spent enough time with him lately. And so going back to him, you know, now you're going to have to humble yourself. That's not a bad thing. It's really simple. Right here it says, humble yourself before the Lord. Resist the enemy. So just coming before the Lord, just like you would a friend, and say, hey, I'm sorry I've been away. I'm sorry I haven't spent time with you. Will you forgive me? And you catch right back up. Just like with that friend on the phone. How many of you have that friend where you don't necessarily live close together, but when you call, it's like you pick up right where you left off? I have a few of those, because by the time you're in college, your friends don't live close anymore. They're all in the different corners of the United States. I have Washington, California, Florida, New York. They're all over the place. And so I don't see them every day. But when you call, it's like, hey, and you pick up right back where you left off. Half the time, it's sorry, it's been a month. It's been really busy. You know, but we don't spend the whole conversation mulling over about why I've spent so long not talking to them. You just let them know you're sorry. And with as simple as that is in relationships, that's how simple it is with the Lord, is saying, I'm sorry I've been away. I'm sorry I haven't been close to you. I want to spend more time with you. Just like you tell that friend, I miss, you know, you text them, I miss you, I really want to talk, hope we can chat soon. You know, and I can't tell you how many of my text messages say that. And it's true, you miss these people, you want to talk to them and spend time with them, but we don't always take the time. But how much more should we take that time with the Lord? How much more should we say, I have 5 minutes. You don't have to wait till you have an hour. Spend that 5 minutes you have. We think that we have to put this, you know, calendar block out and be like, okay, I'm going to spend an hour and a half this time with him. And if we don't get the hour and a half, then we're like, well, I didn't get that time. I'll try again tomorrow. Use the time that you have. Spend the time that you have each day with him. I know we get busy. I know there's fun things to do in the summer. But think about, what is my priority? Who could tell me what 1440 means? Elizabeth?
1,440 minutes in a day. How many of those minutes are you going to give God?
Right. There's 1,440 minutes in every day, and 1440, we live it all for the glory of God. And so when you think about 1440, how many minutes that is, like what if I had $1,440 bills right here. Do you know how many ones that would be? That's what the minutes are. That's a lot. And so it's saying, how are you going to spend that money? How are you going to spend that time? And so you have all of that time. Today I slept in and I woke up and I thought, oh, there goes my exercise. Oh, there goes my house cleaning. And I got real frustrated about the stuff I could have been doing, but I still spent time with the Lord. And so there's times where you got to get up and I have to make a choice. Am I going to do this or am I going to do this? And you have to make those priorities. And so with the summer here, you have more time than ever than you did at least at school to do and have time for things that your choices determine. You get to choose. You know, you might have parents like mine who says you're going to do this amount of chores per day, or some of you do the homeschool, so you might still be doing homeschool throughout the summer, but you do have more time. You have more flexibility, at least, in your schedule. You don't have the bus coming to get you, and you don't have the school alarm saying you're tardy. You have more freedom for what you're doing. And so now's the time to put that investment in. Now's that time to develop those habits. They say a habit's developed in 21 days. So if you're trying to break a habit, you stop doing something for 21 days. If you're trying to start doing something, you do it for 21 days. And you'll see, I challenge you, if there's something you want to start doing, like exercise, or if there's something you want to stop doing, like biting your nails, take 21 days. And by the end of the 21st day, you'll see you're starting to do it by habit, because now a habit has been formed. And so that's where the consistency lies, is when you're doing something over and over and over again in a consistent period of time, a habit is now formed or broken, depending if you're trying to stop or start something. And so this is a great time to develop those habits where I'm going to read the word before I get out of bed in the morning, because now I can sleep in and my alarm's not going off at 6, it's going off at 10, or some of you 12 or 1 or 2, or whenever you decide to get up. You're like, 2? I don't have an alarm. Me, I set one because I know I'll sleep forever unless I get up. So even on days off, I'm still trying to set an alarm because I will sleep until whenever I want to. My roommates tease me. They're like, breakfast was over how long ago? I'm like, I don't need breakfast. I don't. But anyways, turn to Hebrews 4:15. We'll end on this. It says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will receive his grace to help us when we need it. And so if there's times where you don't feel like you can boldly come to the throne, don't let feelings determine whether you're going to do that. This says, come boldly to the throne, because that's where you're going to see grace and mercy. So don't let the enemy say you've been too far away or you haven't spent time, so you might as well keep wasting more time. Immediately resist the enemy, it will flee. Draw close to God, he draws close to you. And then right here it says, go to the throne of boldly and you're going to receive grace and mercy. And so as we go off of this convention week, as we ascend higher, all it takes is consistency. Going over what you learned then. If you didn't hear convention and you're wondering half the things I'm talking about, 1440 has podcasts now. You go to iTunes, you type in 1440, and everything's free. Any message from January is on there, including convention. And so you have word at your fingertips if you're an audible learner. You have an opportunity to read your word each day. So don't ride off of these events and these highs and see how far they're going to take you. But take them as opportunities to propel you higher. Because we can have this event and we can make a choice right here. So this is kind of where we're at right now. We can say, you know, I can either kind of ride this out or I can go up. And so then, you know, another event comes. So does that mean I plateau again? No, it just means I keep going higher from that event. And so when you go higher and higher, that's where you can see things. That's where you expand your vision. I remember the other day someone was asking me, so do you understand what I'm talking about? And I was like, I really don't. I said, I feel like I'm on a runway and I'm surrounded by a bunch of trees. And I was like, I can't see past these trees. Right now, all I can see is kind of what's surrounding me, the forest around me, or the mountains. Where I come from, there's lots of mountains. And so you're kind of surrounded by mountains and trees. You can't look out over fields of grass and wheat and pastures and see all the way to the next city. You have a tree in the next 20 feet. And so I was like, I can't really see what's beyond me. I said, but if I go higher, if I get on a plane and I go higher, I can see beyond my circumstance. I can see there's more to what's going on than the trees around me. I realize there's other things beyond me. So sometimes we get so bogged down with like, I can't see past tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going. All I see are these trees. As you go higher in him, as you continue to ascend, you're going to get to a place where you can see farther. Last week, they were talking about the will of God, knowing your call, how to know what those things are and how to walk in them. And how to do that is spending time in him, knowing who you are in him, and it takes you higher. And the higher you get, the farther you can see, the more you understand about your surroundings. And so if you're at a place where you're like, I don't really know what's ahead of me, I can't see that far, then you spend time in him. You know, so many times people who are the doers want to just keep doing and keep active, and the thought of stopping and just abiding just sounds counterproductive. But as you spend time in him, he gives you that wisdom. He gives you that knowledge that Lacey, you know, she said she confessed over herself that the eyes of her understanding would be opened, that she would have that wisdom flood her heart. The time you spend with him, he's going to give you things that you can't get in the natural, that you can't work for or strive for. And so as you go higher and higher and higher, you're going to be able to see farther. You're going to be able to understand more. And that's how you're going to be able to get all those answers that you're looking for. The world wants to paint the picture that you have to work really hard or you have to do all these things to get there. But really, it's abiding in him. Just like it says the tree produces fruit, it just naturally happens. One day the apple's growing and one day the apple falls and it's ripe and ready for harvest. It didn't really do much but sit there and abide and get its nutrients from the tree, and then it produced its fruit. And so that's what we do. We just abide in him. And the world wants you to think that it's a hard thing, that it takes so much energy and effort and all these things that you have to do, but it really just takes the consistency of spending time with him, of letting every minute you have. There's times where at stoplights, I would have little note cards in my purse, and I would just kind of meditate on something that I was trying to renew my mind to that week. And so it's simple. You don't have to necessarily even cut out this big chunk of time every day as much as having conversation with him. Just as much as you get text messages from your friends and statuses on your Facebook, as often as you communicate with people like that, let that be how often you communicate with him. So whether you get these, next time you get a text message or next time you get a Facebook message or a status update, think, am I communicating with the Lord this often? And train yourself to spend that time with him or to update him with those things. Like, Lord, that was hard. Or, wow, that was really exciting. So many times we want to call somebody and tell them about an exciting event or vent. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe what happened. And we forget that the Lord knows all things and that he's supposed to be our friend and our comforter and our counselor. And we read that scripture and we think, oh, that sounds high and lofty and wonderful. But we don't really take it to heart. That he really is our counselor to lead and guide us. He really is our friend and our comforter to help us through those situations. And so let these next couple weeks be an opportunity to keep going up, to let it be a platform and a foundation to propel you to the next level, and let it be a time and a place of growth. And you're going to see yourself going higher and higher, and you'll look back in a couple weeks, and you're not going to think, oh, wow, convention was a great time. You'll think yesterday was an awesome day. Look at how far I've grown from yesterday. Just like when you're little and your parents have that measuring stick, whether it's the wall or it's that poster, and they mark those nicks of how many times, inches you've grown in the last month or year. You're going to look back and see all these growth marks in how you've excelled and how you've gone up. Instead of looking back and be like, have I shrunk a little? I know now my mom's like, I think I've shrunk. And I'm like, I never want that to be me. I never want to shrink. And so we don't want to go back. We don't want to digress. The opposite of ascend is descend. We want to continue moving up. And so that's my hope for you guys, and that's what I encourage you in. And if there's hard times, this is the place to come to. When we open these altar up for prayer, there's this perception that that's the place that people go when they have problems, or that's the place someone goes when they've been bad. And you look at someone when they go up and you think, ooh, I wonder what they did. Am I right? Or you guys go, I don't want to go up there because the friend next to me is going to wonder, like, why I'm going up. This is the place to run boldly to. It doesn't matter who's next to you. It doesn't matter what you're leaving behind to go forward. Leave it behind and go forward. And if you're struggling with something and something's hard, come tell us. The enemy tells you to don't tell them what you're going through because they're going to take you out of your leadership position. Or don't tell them what you're going through because they're going to look down on you. We all have struggles. It says the Lord had temptations, but he overcame them. He went through every single one. Now, we're here to help you walk through those things. So I'm not going to say I've gone through every single thing. I don't have to go through something to help you through something. I have this to help you through something and to point you the way to go. And so if there's times where you need encouragement or you need someone to point you in the right way to go, come to us. Come talk to us. We want to walk you along this path. We don't want you to think that I can only come to them if things are good. I can only come to them when things are in the public eye. Come to us when things aren't so good so that we can help you get to the place where you're going higher and not standing still. Amen?
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.